This podcast series for people living with tube feeding is brought to you by The Beat from Nutritia. This information is intended for people who are tube feeding at home, their families and their carers, including those registered on Nutritia Homeward. In this mini-series, we have partnered with Helen Hines. Helen is a dietitian specialising in home enteral nutrition in Sheffield. She is a member of the British Dietetic Association and also on the committee for the Parenteral and Enteral Nutritional Specialist Group. You will hear from both healthcare professionals and people who have experience living with tube feeding, and we will cover a range of topics, including what is tube feeding, how to talk to others about your feeding tube, and where to find out more information about tube feeding. This podcast series is all about supporting you with tube feeding at home. The information contained in this podcast is not intended to replace the advice or recommendations of healthcare professionals. Please consult with a qualified medical professional for any healthcare concerns or medical advice.
Hello everyone, you're very welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, we will hear from Gary Taylor and Steve Brown, who are both ambassadors for the charity called Pint. Pint is a charity that supports people who are on home artificial nutrition, and Gary and Steve will both bring personal experiences in that they are both on enteral nutrition. We really look forward to hearing more about the amazing work the Pint does to support its members and why Steve and Gary chose to become involved. So I'd really like to welcome you both to the podcast. It's great to have you here this morning. And to get us started, Steve, could you tell us a bit more about what Pint does?
Yes, of course. So Pint is a registered charity, which has been going for a good number of years, about 35 now. And we are essentially the patient support group for individuals on home artificial nutrition, both parental and enteral, as well as those using oral nutritional supplements. We have sort of three arms to what we do, which is kind of built over the years. Very much started out as trying to be that kind of local patient voice to support patients, but has kind of expanded out, and now we have much more of an advocacy role to support patients. So doing some of the nitty-gritty supporting patients, you know, talking to them, listening to them, giving advice and tips and things, but also then sort of advocating for what patients may need. That can be across industry, within healthcare profession. And so within that role, there's an element of education, you know, showcasing what life is like on home artificial nutrition. And really trying to help people to understand, you know, some of the actual day-to-day practicalities, because especially within healthcare and industry, it's very much a focus on, you know, the mechanics of providing enough nutrition to meet a person's needs, etc. But then simple little things about day-to-day life, getting around from A to B, you know, traveling, all those kinds of day-to-day things that most of us take for granted. So we have that role of, you know, providing that kind of personalized experience to others, and kind of collaborating to try and find the meaningful solutions. And within that, you know, there's always around kind of generating information and resources. So it's become a much bigger role than what it originally set out to be. But I think as home artificial nutrition has expanded over the decades, then had to adapt and expand with it.
Thanks, Steve. You've given us a really great overview of all the amazing work that Pint does to support its members. Gary, I wonder if you could tell us where you first heard about Pint.
I first heard about Pint going back to 2017, which was just after I had my operation in 2016. I was struggling with kind of day-to-day living at the time. And then Nutritia told me about Pint, gave me a bit of insight to it. So obviously I went online to do some research and got in touch with Caroline. And we kind of communicated on and off by email. And then she says, come down and see us. We've got Anne's Week in August of 2017. In Liverpool, I think it was. And I went across, met them. What a fantastic group of people I met on that day. And I thought, I wouldn't mind helping out myself, give back what I can to the community. So this is the time I kind of realised I'm going to join Pint best I can and help out.
That's great, Gary. I think, as Steve said earlier, the ethos of Pint is being the patient's voice and ensuring that people on artificial nutrition are getting the support that they need. And it sounds like you took a lot from it in meeting other people who'd been through similar experiences.
I did, yeah. The people, obviously, I met there, just kind of just talking to people, which is what I struggled with at the start, because I kept it all to myself. And my family was struggling because I were having, you know, anger issues, blaming people or blaming myself sometimes. And I struggled really bad until I started, obviously, getting involved with Pint and talking to people. And that's the main thing. Pint now has come to me as more like an extended family. And they're there for anybody to talk to. They don't give out, you know, medical advice. Obviously, I need to go to my own hospitals and dietitians and get advice off them. But just listening to me and helping talk through situations that other people have obviously had similar experience with. And it obviously came out that I'm not alone in this journey that my family and I were taking. So that really, really helped me a lot.
Gary, it's great to hear how much support and connection you and your family got from you finding Pint. I wonder, Stephen, can I come to you? Could you tell us how your experience was when you first heard about Pint?
Yes, it was really interesting sort of listening to Gary talking there, because it very much resonated, I think, with my own experience. I was back in 2006 and I'd been discharged from hospital with a permanent NG tube with the plan of moving to a PEG tube. So this was the first time that the idea of being fed for the rest of my life was kind of brought up. I'd had many NG tubes in hospital before, but this was the first time of being at home. And I think there's a very big difference between being unwell in hospital and being unwell at home, and seeing the rest of my family kind of getting on with their life whilst I kind of just sat there watching daytime telly, kind of made me realise that things are going to be very different. And I think I got into a bit of a dark place. And my dietitian used to do home visits, and she came this day, and we had a really good relationship in that we could just say things as they were and frequently had discussions and debates, shall we say. And she basically just told me to pull myself together and to get on with it. I was three quarters of my way through my undergraduate degree and really didn't think I was going to get back to doing it, to finishing that off. And she actually threw a copy of the online magazine, which is the Pint Quarterly magazine, at me while sitting on the sofa. And I just put it to the side with all of the other reading material that lived next to my chair in the living room. And it wasn't until later that night that I actually picked it up. And one of the first articles I read was about a young gentleman who was also on the Pint EC, who was just getting his pilot license and had numerous different health issues. And was enterally fed and also parenterally fed at the time. And I kind of thought to myself, well, if you can get a pilot's license, then surely I can go back to university and do another year and finish my degree. So that kind of started to give me a bit of hope. I looked into Pint a bit more, found more and more stories of other people. And that got me the confidence to actually contact Pint and speak to Carolyn. And that conversation literally changed my entire perception of what I was actually going to do. And I think that's what Pint really brought to me. First of all, those patient stories really resonated with me and gave me a sense of hope. And then the question was, how do I turn that sense of hope into actual, real day-to-day actual events to get me where I wanted to get to? And that's where the practical support came in. So it's always strange. I've always said that, the medics gave me my life back. They kept me alive. They got me where I am. But it was the likes of Pint that actually got me living that life. And that's why I got involved, because it's my turn to give something back.
Thanks for sharing that, Steve. It sounds like discovering Pint was a really empowering experience for you and gave you a real sense of hope for your future. Can you tell us a bit more about the support that Pint provides with regards to support groups and resources?
Yeah, so one of the big parts of Pint is all about bringing patients together, creating that kind of that collective voice. Because we can sit on the EC of Pint and have our own experiences, but what we need is strength in that voice. So we need more voices sort of saying things. And to do that, we need to be coming together. I talked briefly before about how reading the experiences of other people gave me that kind of insight into what my life could go on to be. And Gary mentioned as well that, going to that first regional group, he realized that in a sense, I guess he's not on his own, and that gave that element of support. When we look at how we as individuals come together as groups of people, if there's always a similarity that runs through it. Whether you like the same films, the same books, you were in the same career, we come together with shared interests. And for someone who is on artificial nutrition, you have a very unique interest, essentially, which not many people will necessarily resonate with. So finding that kind of support, human beings look for support all the time. And certainly in this instance, that's what we do. So what Pint have always tried to do is have what we call regional groups set up throughout the country so that people don't have to travel far. And this is something that's been quite a cornerstone. And I think I touched on it earlier when I was talking about Pint starting. That's what it was. Pint was a group of five people who met in a hospital in London. That's how it started, with Carolyn being one of them founding members. And from there, has branched right out. So that fundamental, that group support, has been something we've always tried to do, and have it led by patients where possible, because patient knows what they want. But we look for ways in which to do things. How do you manage, with eight boxes of feed that needs to last you a month if you want to go away and visit family? What kind of car do you need? Those kinds of things. You're certainly not going to do it on a train. Little things like that. Managing things like bills, benefits, things that are, for most of us, completely complex, but an essential part of us getting through day to day. So, sharing patient experiences or personal experiences with each other, going through similar things, and giving some of those practical tips. And that's led on to the generation of things like the restaurant card, where you can go into a restaurant and rather than having to explain the fact that you can't eat, or you can only eat little bits because of a medical condition. You can show a card which explains the situation without having to go into any great detail. And the most recent thing, which has been pretty a great timing given Brexit and challenges in getting to Europe and things now, is hashtag verify. The medical tag, as we often refer to it, which helps and supports you getting through places like airport security to verify that your pump is actually a medical piece of equipment. And although it looks a little bit suspicious, it's not in any way dangerous to anyone else. But these are the things that have built up through collaborating, coming together as patients, sharing experiences, and then looking for solutions.
Thanks, Steve. I think from looking at the Pint website, my eyes were very much opened and refreshed on the amazing kind of resources and support that Pint continues to develop. And again, if I'm just thinking if anyone's listened to this podcast who had never heard of Pint before and they're interested in joining, Gary, how would someone join Pint if they were interested in joining as a member?
If they're interested in joining, we can get online Pint's website, and there's forms for joining as a member online. So you just fill that out, and we'll be back in touch and let you know how to carry on after you've joined, what you can do.
Thanks, Gary. That's great to know that registration is so easily accessible online. I guess it's really important to acknowledge that Pint supports both adults and children. So, Steve, could you tell us a bit more about Half Pint?
Half Pint kind of evolved in and of itself. It was always a subdivision of Pint to support children, effectively those sort of under the age of well, 16, really, but I guess technically 18. But actually what we've found is that we've kind of, I guess, moved away from Half Pint to some degree now and actually kind of become more inclusive in the membership. And I think that's because we kind of realised that actually some of us are kids at heart. So certainly it's someone like myself who's very, very Disney focused. You know, I quite liked the children's activities that we used to do for Half Pint, the colouring in, which is an amazing mindfulness experience, which many of us found during the pandemic. So actually, rather than having the two separate entities, what we've done is we've kind of brought them together into one membership. Although we do kind of still separate them and have a way of identifying children so that we can send things like age-appropriate birthday cards to them, so it's a little bit more fun in places. But we kind of feel that by bringing adults and children together, children will then get to see people who maybe have been on feeding for much, much longer, and vice versa. You know, people who will see children navigating, you know, development whilst on feeding, which can be quite insightful and inspiring. So we've really kind of tried to bring those two together to kind of showcase that actually, you know, children and adults, very much the same. The treatment is still the same. Some of the challenges are different. But as well, I think it helps for the parents of children who are on artificial nutrition to see adults who are on artificial nutrition as well. And that can give that element of hope, but also that opportunity to share experiences and ask questions as well.
That's great. It sounds like you are always evolving and developing how you approach things, which I think is really important for the charity. So I know not everyone would decide to become an ambassador, and but you both have decided to take on that extra responsibility. So Gary, I just wonder if you could tell me why you chose to be a member, but then also go on to be a committee member in the end.
As a kind of briefly mentioned it before, the support that Pint gave me, I wanted to give back. So becoming an ambassador really made sure that I could put in that effort to go back and help others, you know, share my story with them, give them experiences I've gone through, and just give them that little bit of hope that everything's not lost. Just because you chew fed, it's not the end of the world. Obviously, they don't have to go around doing my extreme events. Just, you know, getting out of bed, getting dressed. Just something to give them hope that it's not the end. So that's why I became an ambassador.
Amazing, Gary. And I know you've touched on your extreme events there, and I'm sure our listeners are wondering, oh, what are these extreme events? So could you tell us a wee bit more about what your proudest event that you've been involved in to fundraise for Pint has been?
Every event I do is an achievement for me. I push my body further than it should do. I did the London Marathon, which the very first time I did that was the hottest London Marathon going. And I really struggled, obviously, getting the fluids in me at the time. But we worked that out, and I have conquered London Marathon, I say, in getting under 4 hours. I've done a cycling challenge for Pint, which unfortunately COVID kind of hit, and I had to do that in my garage instead of on the road, so might have to look at redoing that one. other extremes is running ultramarathons. I've done a kayaking coast to coast, and that were again a different experience, and found that really hard going to get the nutrition in me as you're kayaking across canals. So I keep pushing my body to the extreme max, and but I don't expect anybody else to kind of follow in them footsteps. So if anybody has got a challenge, I always ask them to let us know and I'll look into it.
Amazing, Gary. That's a very impressive list of challenges you've been involved in. Some I don't think I'd even dare to consider. So yeah, well done to you. And I think the message I've really got from this podcast is that Pint, its members and its ambassadors have a really can-do attitude. Like Steve mentioned at the start, when he first came across Pint, it was reading a story about someone who'd become a pilot. And for Steve, his goal was to get through his university degree, which was amazing. And then Gary, all of your sporting achievements. So I think Pint is a very much encouraging and empowering environment for people on home artificial nutrition to become involved in. So I know a key date in all of the diaries of anyone connected to Pint is Home Artificial Nutrition Week, which I believe this year runs from the 5th to the 11th of August. And Steve, could you tell us a bit more about what this week involves?
Ah, yes, the Home Artificial Nutrition Week. This year, I guess we kind of, it's very similar to previous in the sense that we are really trying to build on previous things that have been done. One of the key things, as you touched on earlier, is that Pint have evolved a lot over the years. And as part of that evolution, it's about taking things that we've started, but then improving or developing them as things change. This is how things like the restaurant card, hashtag verify kind of even came about. And so that's essentially what this year is going to be building on, and also around the theme of working together, which I think has probably come across quite loudly, I guess, in this podcast, and around working with other people, patients, healthcare industry, etc. So we will be continuing. We have our third year of the Tracy Hill Patient Champion Award, which is open to everyone, and obviously more information on the website. We'll be obviously continuing to share patient stories, because as we've seen, this is what kind of really resonates with individuals. Certainly, it's what got me in this seat in the first place. So showcasing those that people aren't alone in their experiences. We've been building on hashtag verify. So we did a video last year where we looked at kind of showcasing the hashtag verify medical tag in action. We were lucky enough to film with the Warrington Wolves Rugby League, I think it's league team, but basically showing how going to such a sporting venue with a rucksack, how the hashtag verify medical tag can be really useful and helping to, especially in today's kind of climate of security, etc. And interesting this year, we have one of the consulting gastroenterologists from the Freeman Hospital in Newcastle. He's actually doing a bit of an epic challenge. I guess it's extreme, as Gary would say. He's doing a walk from Canterbury to Rome as part of his. So raising money for both Pint and Newcastle Ch Hospital charities. So that will be an ongoing theme throughout, and we'll be supporting him as he does that as well. So lots and lots happening in Hand Week as always, and it's in a constantly evolving thing as new ideas come in and we kind of latch onto them and then try and quickly develop that into getting ready for the beginning of August. So watch this space.
Sounds like a very jam-packed and exciting week. I guess if anyone's wanting to get involved or even follow what's happening on Hand Week, where's best to see what yous are doing?
Main site will always be the website. It's the primary hub. There's various different social medias. I'm not going to go into them because I'm not particularly social media sort of literate, but the website has an awful lot of information. All those patient stories are uploaded each day. All those different events come on. And we've got the save the date up there at the minute, which will update as when the new set of events come through. We also have our closed Facebook page for members where they can obviously share their experiences, but information will be posted on there as well, so members get it first.
Perfect. I know as a home underfeeding dietitian, the date is firmly in my diary, from the 5th to the 11th of August. So we look forward to connecting with all the amazing work that Pint is doing, to raise awareness on that week. And every year there's a really inspiring patient story shared. So look forward to seeing them. I've always said there is such power in the patient voice, and I think patients and have a lot to learn from that, but also healthcare professionals. So that's absolutely brilliant. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. I think it's been a really insightful and inspiring episode with you both. I'd like to thank you for coming along today and sharing your stories, as well as letting people know how they could join Pint and to learn about how they can connect on Home Artificial Nutrition Week. Before we sign off, any last words from yourself, Gary?
No, just thank you for, letting us come on and speak about Pint. And obviously, if anybody wants to find out more, obviously go online and look at the website and get in touch and just ask the questions.
Thanks, Gary. And you, Steve?
Yeah, just to echo that, thank you again for the time and the raising the awareness. And yeah, of course, any questions anyone has, no matter how silly they may seem, or how basic they might come across, reach out to us. Sometimes, these are the questions that we get asked most. Sometimes, other people are sitting in exactly the same situation with exactly the same question, but just not quite brave enough to ask it. So just come forward and ask it however you want, social media, through the website. We're only literally a telephone call or an email or an instant message away. So don't be frightened to just ask, reach out.
Thanks very much. So if you're listening to this and you're wanting some connection with other people who understand what you're going through, Pint is a really great place to look for that support. So thank you again for joining this episode, and we look forward to welcoming you on future episodes. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
To keep up to date with future episodes of this podcast series from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. For more updates on the show, plus lots more resources and help on tube feeding, please visit nutritiahomeward.co.uk.